This morning I want to share with you a passage. We finished the Gospel of Mark, so we finally finished. I haven't looked back to see how long it took us to get through, but we did. So I will probably be doing some individual messages, and then I'm praying about what next book we will do in the Bible. But for now, I want us to look today in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, at an encounter with God. An encounter with God that Isaiah the prophet had that was earth-shattering in its nature, and it changed his life. And there are principles and things that happen in this encounter with God that we can learn from. Because I can tell you, Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord, and he had already been ministering for God. He had already been serving God. But I want you to know that if you're a Christian and you're already serving God, don't just think that that's it. Okay, well, now I'm just going in for the long haul, and I just kind of mosey along and go on through to the end. You need fresh encounters with the living God. I need them. And I have found time and again in my life in ministry where God has brought me to places where I've had encounters with Him. And every one of those encounters have a profound effect on us. If we are genuinely meeting with God, it's going to affect you. He's going to change you. It's going to be a transformation of some kind. Every one of them usually involve some sort of trial, some sort of circumstance that devastates, that brings me to the end of myself, that I might see God fresh and I might get to know Him better. And that's why we need God in the valleys. That's why we need the valleys. That's why we need the trials. Because God uses those very circumstances. And now for Israel, there was a circumstance that happened here. It was the death of a king. It was the year that King Uzziah died. And the loss of a king in Israel was a big deal. I mean, he was their ruler. I mean, it's not that God had originally wanted them to have kings, but they did have kings. And Uzziah wasn't all that bad a king, except in the last days he did end up with a leprosy. But in the year that King Uzziah died, it says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity or your sin is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I, send me. He said, Go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. And I said, Lord, how long? And He answered, Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, and the houses are without a man, and the land is utterly desolate. And the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. And that might sound a little confusing to you, but everything has a purpose in the Word of God. And this was a vision that Isaiah had, a vision of the Lord. And a vision of the Lord that did something to him. It brought transformation. So we're going to go through this step by step, as much time as time allows this morning. And so we start with this, in the year that King Uzziah died. The loss of a king. Everybody dies. Everybody dies. But Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. He doesn't. Now, yes, he died on a cross, but he didn't cease to exist. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always been and always will be. And so we have a King greater than the kings of this world, greater than the princes, greater than the prime ministers and the presidents that have come and gone, and those who have been honored by men. They all die, but this one lives forever, the living God. Our hope is in the living God. For Israel lost their king, but God comes with great assurance and reveals the King of kings, and the Lord of Lords to them. And praise the Lord, whatever it is that you lose, whatever it is that you seek to hold on to in this life, we know it passes through our fingers like sand. We thank God for every gift, and every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variable or no change, no shadow of turning in him. But nevertheless, we know this, that it all passes away. It's all temporary. Make sure that you're clinging to the King of Kings. Make sure that he is the center of your life and the center of your relationship. It doesn't matter whatever else. The best relationships can be rendered, can they not? They can be ripped from us. They can be torn from us. They can be removed from us through death or through other circumstances. But I'll tell you this, we can still see the Lord. We can still know the Lord. We can still have the living relationship with the living God. This is a permanent anchor in a changing world. And so in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Now, who is the Lord? Who did he see? He saw Jesus. You say, well, no, he must have saw the Father. Maybe he saw the Holy Spirit, but how did he see Jesus? How do you know that it was Jesus that he saw? Well, we go to the New Testament in the Gospel of John, and here's what it says. John 12:36. While you had the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. This is Jesus telling them, listen, while the light's shining on you, respond to it. Go to the light now. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. Now notice what it says here. So that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. This is a direct reference to the passage from 600 years before when Isaiah saw his glory. Now we're going to get to this blinding of their eyes a little bit later, because I know that raises questions in people's minds. But first of all, I want you to understand that when he saw his glory and spoke of him, who was it talking about? It was Jesus Christ himself. Because this is what they says in John 12:37, although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. And then the text comes. And so it is a revelation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Some people say, well, he was only born in Bethlehem hundreds of years later. Yes, that's true. That was when he took on physical body. But he was with the Father in eternity before. He didn't come into existence when he was born in Bethlehem, like we do when we're born. When we're conceived, we come into existence. But the Son of God was with the Father for eternity past. In the book of Hebrews, it says, as he came into the world, as he descended to go into the womb of Mary, it says, lo, I come. In the volume of the scroll is written of me, I've come to do your will, O God. That's what the Father said, Jesus said just before he left heaven and came and was conceived within the womb of Mary. It's amazing when we stop and think about the reality of who Jesus Christ is. And this is who Isaiah saw. He saw Jesus. He saw his glory. And that's what it says in the passage. There, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. And so when we look at this passage of scripture, we discover this Isaiah seeing the Lord. This is a prophet of God who gets a vision, and he sees the Lord. He sees Jesus Christ, and he sees him high and lifted up, and he sees the train of his robe fill the temple. Well, he's not talking about a choo-choo train here. Right? You know how weddings, they have trains behind them. Well, kings and royalty would have robes of royalty with them. But here it says it actually fills the temple. And, you know, in the Old Testament, we have understanding from the New Testament that helps us to interpret the Old and to understand it aright. We understand that the temple is no longer in existence. Now, we're not looking for a temple in Jerusalem. I don't care how many Christians think, oh, we're going to go build a temple in Jerusalem. The temple of the living God is the church of God. It's you. He's come to live in you. The Bible says you are the temple of the living God. He walks in us. He talks in us. We are the temple of the living God. And his robes, his garments, his life, the Bible says that he gives us a garment of righteousness. He gives us the Holy Spirit, God himself, who comes to live in us. Our temples need to be filled with the glory of Jesus Christ. And in one sense, in the Old Testament, or even in earthly kingdoms, it is they array themselves. When they go out in public for everybody to see, and the kings are arrayed in all their finery and their glory, right? We are the finery and the glory. As God comes and he lives in us, that's the glory we have. It's not our own, it's his, who comes to live in the temple of the living God. And then above it stood the seraphim, each one having six wings. Two he covered his face, two he with his feet, and two he flew. What a creature, huh? You know, everybody sees an angel. They got two wings on the back, you know, big white ones that are fluffed up and coming down like this. That's the way they do the drawings, right? This guy's got six wings, right? And, you know, when you look in the book of Revelation, you find out they got more eyes than... eyes on both sides, too. Like, we don't understand. We don't see all of this, and I can't explain all of it either, but I can say this. There seemed to be here in the covering, there's a humility about these angels. There's a sense of awe and wonder to be in the presence of the living God. And I can tell you this, it's not going to be, when you stand before Almighty God, it's not going to be, oh, hi, God. Oh, yeah, you know, just a minute, I got to go play my iPad. No, you won't be doing that, friends, when you see Almighty God. You'll be blown away by his presence. This is the awesome God. You know, when Jesus Christ went up on the mountain with Peter and James and John, and they fell asleep, and all of a sudden, Jesus was glorified. And Peter writes about it later, and he says, we were there. We were there, and we saw his glory on that mountain. He said, I have a testimony, a more certain and sure word of prophecy. He said, we were there. Oh, friends, I forgot. You think Isaiah ever forgot this? No, he never forgot it. We need encounters with God. You need to see his glory now. You need to see who Jesus is more and more and more. There's more glory for you if you're willing to look for it, if you're willing to wait on God for it. But of course, there'll come a day when you'll stand in his presence. The incredible, awesome presence of Almighty God. You know, when it says that his train filled the temple, and when the angels before them were hiding their very faces and covering their feet, it's almost like they were covering themselves in the presence of God because they wanted God to be seen, not them. They wanted God to be glorified, not them. It wasn't about the angels. The angels' purpose and desire was to bring praise and glory to God, not to themselves. It says one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. If you want to know what the word hosts means, it means the armies, the mass of people, right? The Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of all the earth. And the whole earth is full of his glory, they call it. Three times they shout, holy, holy, holy. And you know, in the book of Revelation, we have this statement that's made in Revelation. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. How many eyes, it doesn't say. But anyway, they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. They're declaring this over and over and over again. This is Revelation. This is at the end of the age. John is speaking and seeing this vision. And now we have Isaiah saying, excuse me. We have Isaiah declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Repetition is not a bad thing sometimes. You know, sometimes people talk about songs and choruses and say, oh, they repeat that chorus over and over and over and over again. Man, can you imagine these angels? Thousands of years? Holy, holy, holy. Can you imagine that? Would you like that job? You might say, no, I'd get bored. After the fifth holy, I'd probably get bored. You know, give me something else to say, Lord. But I could tell you this, every time for thousands of years, these angels say that word, holy, they're seeing how awesome he is. And it's just blowing them away every single time. Every time. They're never getting bored. They're never saying, oh, I wish Ralph would come and take over for a while. Right? No. They don't. Because it's such an honor to magnify the Lord. It's such a privilege to glorify him. Oh, friends, are we missing something in our encounters with God? Do we see him that way? Do we tarry in his presence? Do we say, oh, I can't wait to get in the presence of the Lord. I can't wait to shout his holiness. I love to sing his praises. Let's sing some more. Let's glorify God more. Let's hear more of the word of God. Let's be in his presence. If they never get bored, and they've been doing that for thousands of years, they're seeing something more than I am. But I want to see more. I want to know more of his holiness, of his greatness, of his glory, of his majesty, of his power, of how awesome the Lord is. Oh my goodness, it's just an amazing thing to stop and reflect on it as these angels are giving that glory to God and praise to him. You see, they saw who God was, and they were being amazed by it, and they had to declare it. They had to declare. But why is the word holy being used? What is that? Why is that word? Why holy, holy, holy? Okay. What is holy? When you think of holy, tell me the first thing that comes to mind. You think holy. Quick, somebody. Set apart. That's the word. Yeah. Okay. What does that mean? Set apart. What's that? No sin. Okay. No sin. Pure. What's that? Very special. Okay. Set apart. Pure. No sin. You. It's pulling it all of this together. Above everything. Okay. What's that? Speaking about us being holy, okay, yeah. You know, the holiness of God, the Bible actually speaks more of his holiness than anything else. It does tell us that God is love, and it does tell us that God is just, but the angels aren't crying love, 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 nor are they crying just, just, just. They're crying holy, holy, holy. He is unique. He is absolutely set apart in his uniqueness. There's no one like God. Everything about God is expressed in holiness. His love is expressed in holiness. His justice, his wrath is expressed in holiness. His hatred for sin, his love for sinners. All of that is wrapped up in the word holy. Because the word holy, what you could just say is holy and God are equal in that sense. That's him. That's who he is. He is. You see, God is set apart from creation because he made everything. He's not, you know, we don't worship the trees. We don't worship the ground and the rocks. We worship the creator of all of those things, and he's set apart from it all because at one point, there was only God. There were no angels, there were no demons, there was no worlds, there was no universes, there was nothing but God. And he existed in perfect harmony with himself for I can't say. he always was. He always was. And there is this holy God who is so set apart in that sense. He creates all of this universe and all of these worlds and everything about it. He creates us, and he creates us that we might come into a close union with himself. He invites us into his holiness. He invites us into his experience of who God is. He does this. And it means because of a fallen world, because man chose to turn their back on God, mankind, and in so doing, unholiness has come to be among the human race and among us. And yet, this awesome, majestic, holy God who cannot love sin, who cannot accept sin, wants to bring you into his presence. It's a conflict in a sense. Here's this holy God and here are unholy people, and that's every one of us. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. We're going to get to that, but I've come to understand I'm only going to give you half a sermon today. And we'll have to look at the rest of it and see Isaiah's reaction as he sees this holy God. But let me encourage you to this. You need divine encounters with God. And when you do, you will see his holiness. And it will blow you away. It will blow you away. It won't be la-di-da. It will be something deeper and richer in your experience with God. It will show you how awesome he is, but it'll also show you how unawesome you are. It will. Every time it will. If you meet with God, you will be moved. Have you been moved? Have you been affected by the presence of the living God? Are you being affected? Will you be affected? Let me encourage you. You need to see the Lord. You need divine encounters. And if you see his holiness, you see how awesome he really is. It will do something to you. And as he cries this word, this holy, 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 the angels are crying this out. They are expressing what Isaiah is seeing. They are seeing the glory of God. They're expressing the glory of God as Isaiah sees the glory of God. And it actually tells us that the place was shaken where they were. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Now, there was nobody smoking cigarettes, okay. All right. There was an altar of sacrifice. But the what's given here is almost makes me, it brings me back to the mountain when the law was given and the mountain shook and the fire and smoke and the giving of the law. There's a sense of the majesty of Almighty God, the power of Almighty God. The temple in that day would have been you've seen pictures of the stones in the temple. This place don't shake. But as Isaiah was in the presence of Almighty God, the very temple shook. The very temple shook, and the place was filled with smoke. It was like, whoa, something majestic, something's happening here. I mean, you know, even these modern bands today, they make these smoke machines to give effect. I think they might have been reading this passage and said, oh, that sounds like an idea, right? But anyway, what happens here is that the place, it was awesome. Like this was, the temple was shaking under his very feet. The pillars of the temple, the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. This was like, whoa, God is here. I can't describe this. All I can say is, come into the presence of God. Come, tarry there. Say, Lord, show yourself to me, Lord. Lord, I need to see you. I need to understand you better. Lord, I'm carrying on in this world with little glimpses of God, but my focus isn't on you. It's on everything else. Life is busy, isn't it? And my life can be so tied up with everything. I miss God. Are you missing him? Are you having divine encounters? Or have somebody saw slip to the side? Don't allow it to happen. Seek the Lord. Call on his name. Say, God, I need to see you. I need divine encounters. It is the thing that has drawn me back time and time again. It has brought me to my face again and again. It has brought tears to my eyes and brought worship to my heart. And it has transformed my conduct. But I need divine encounters. Listen, you can't get by on an experience of 30 years ago. If that's what you're riding on, you're missing something wonderful. You're missing God. You can have all the truths about God, but what's that if you miss God himself? Don't miss the Lord. That's as far as I'm going to go today. Next week, we're going to look at the reaction of Isaiah and the call of Isaiah that comes from there. Oh, friends, you need divine encounters. I'm going to ask you this week. I want to challenge you this week to spend a little more time praying and asking God, Lord, I need a divine encounter with you. I don't know what it's going to be, but I need you to reveal yourself to me more. Lord, I've been settling for far less. It is so easy to get caught up in everything else, and suddenly God becomes dim. He becomes, well, he's there. Oh, yeah, I know he's there. He's there all the time. But, oh, friends, you need him. We need him. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you today that we can come into your presence and we can ask you, Lord, grant to us divine encounters. They might scare the pants off us, Lord, but that's okay. They might cause us, oh God, to just be blown away, but we need it, Lord. I need you, oh God. I need divine encounters this week with you, Lord. I don't want to settle for just drifting along. Life is too short. And Lord, we don't want to miss the real thing. So have mercy on all of us, O God, and draw us into your presence. Father, if there's one among us here that has not yet been saved, Lord, let that divine encounter happen. And if there are some, Lord, we are saved, and yet, Lord, we're drifting, Father, call us back to yourself. Don't let us live on token prayers, empty words, but rather, O God, give us fire in our bones and a desire to be found in the presence of the living God. Carry us there, Lord. Drag us there if you have to. Do whatever you need to do, Lord, to make us a people, Lord, who know what it is to encounter the living God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.